Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories.
Yes.
The word of 2020 is dying.
You know what? The word of 2020 is dang. And also, I guess it's going to be coronavirus.
Coronavirus
making people crazy out here, man. Coronavirus. Apparently, that is a Cardi B thing.
Is that right?
I didn't know, man. I didn't know. I'm not up with the young references, and I don't even know if it's a young reference anymore.
I'm not sure. I think Cardi B is actually for the young people who are now feeling older, because the young ones have like a Cardi C. I have no idea what they're listening to, but something else.
Am I young but feel old, or am I old but feel young?
Well, that's the ultimate question, chicken or the egg. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry Zebrowski, dealing with the struggles of being middle-aged.
You didn't answer the question.
I don't know the answer.
36. I'm going to be 36 in 2 weeks.
Great.
Is that middle-aged? Are we middle-aged? Because what are you? You're 45?
I am 48 years in my heart, 53 in my legs. Mentally, I am still rocking a nice, rebellious 20-year-old spirit. Fuck Bush. I was actually thinking
about this in college.
I had a huge American flag, and I spray painted "fuck Bush" on it and gold
fuck
spray paint.
Out.
And I was just like, "All right, like I
yeah,
am
man,
doing
that's
it.
All I gotta do, dude."
So I think it evens out to 38, which is my age. And then by comedian standards of my size, the mean is 33 to 44. So I'm right there in the window. That's John Candy, and of course Chris Farley. John Candy being
the elder statesman of the fat points.
Yes.
There was a really nice little, I want to say it was something adoring Uncle Buck or becoming Uncle Buck, and it was a nice little 25-minute documentary about John Candy and his career. And it's so fun to see him like off camera and stuff. He was such a funny interview, and he was so humble. But you know what he did?
What?
Which was, I see it echoed in my own life, and I hate this part of my own personality when you got to watch it. He was very big into reading his own reviews, and every single time, they talk about how when Harry Crumb came out. Who's Harry Crumb, I believe it was called?
Who's Harry Crumb, by the way? Whatever the reviews say, don't listen to
them. They're full of shit.
That movie is gold.
I love that fucking movie. If you have problems with that movie, you can come and report to my complaint office, which is just my fucking dick and balls inside of a boot. All right?
Oh,
and you can go yell at that if you want, if that's what you choose to do. But he was so upset about the negative reviews of Harry Crumb, because what he said is that he thought he disappointed everyone and his crew and everybody around him, that he disappointed the directors. And it's like, no, John Candy, you were always perfect. The only thing that wasn't perfect is that you knew you shouldn't have been on a horse.
Yeah.
You knew you weren't supposed to go on a goddamn horse. It's actually very difficult to ride on a horse.
It is. Wagon's East, the final film that he ever was a part of, died doing what he hated, which was being on a horse covered in leather. I don't know why they thought it was a good idea.
I don't know why, but he is out of breath in the scenes of the film. They don't even, I can't even cut that out of the mic.
No, you can't cut it out. They should have gone with Corvettes West, where it's just him being fat, driving a Corvette. I don't need to see my fat performer suffer. That's not funny. I want to see them having fun, because I'm like, They're not respected enough in society to be allowed to have fun. Only in the movies.
Only in the movies can they have a hot wife. No, that's why you have to make it. You have to make it equal in your own life. That's why if you're ugly, got to be funny or play the guitar. We've said this many times. You got to come up with a gimmick.
Yeah, Popper's case, the guy from Blues Travelers, make the harmonica hot again, which is not easy to do.
It's not, because it's just a sideways cock.
Yeah, and it's just full. Can you imagine being roadie on roadie detail? And if you're a roadie out there and you've experienced this, side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. What's harmonica duty like?
When having to empty out all the white fucking fluid that comes from the back of John Popper's blues glands? Because you know that those are all full of whatever he was drinking and eating the night before. And
of course. Like,
I will bring you
back. Oh my goodness.
Because he sang only with like the most glottal parts of his throat.
Yes, he's still around. Rest him.
That's my John Popper impression.
Well, it's definitely giving me the blues. I love it, and I want to travel away from that sound.
I'm going to kill us both.
All right.
Speaking of a lot of people taking people down with them.
Oh, my.
There was a tragic shooting in Nova Scotia over the weekend that we just want to kind of just cover for a fucking hot second.
Yeah.
Just because it's an awful story, but we were kind of more interested in the windup of the story. Apparently, a man by the name of Gabriel Wortman, the victim count is up to 22.
Yeah, so we have 22 police. This is the largest, I believe, in Canadian history. Yes. 22 people. It wasn't all in one spot. He drove to different locations. And
16
again,
different crime locations.
Yes.
Yes.
And our heart goes out to everyone in Nova Scotia and going through this, because unlike Americans who are a little bit, I'm just going to say slightly more scabbed, when it comes to mass shootings, I know this is a bit more of an open wound for you all, and so our heart goes out to you. But as Henry said, the thing that is most interesting, and Henry's going to go into detail here, is this person's mental lead up, and I guess we can maybe learn something from it.
I mean, you just learn that, you know, you can't just be a cop by wearing a hat and getting a badge.
That's for damn sure.
But you also sort of can. I feel like that what's really sad is that this was a small community called Portapique, which is about 60 miles north. That's about 100 kilometers for you people that don't respect the fucking American measurements.
You know, we're technically wrong, right? The imperial system is technically
it's
dumber.
It's dumb.
Okay.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. It was north of Halifax, where the people were already hidden in their homes, right? They are under a stay-at-home order.
Right.
They're supposed to be home. So apparently this guy, he'd spent the last couple years, and I guess it's since high school, he was obsessed with the Royal Mounted Police, is that he wanted to be a Mountie. And he had said this early on, and I guess it never happened, because now what he ended up, he ran a dentures like company. Like his job, so he built dentures for people. I want to say it was called like Denturas.
Damn, Ace Dentura's the only place to go get your dentures done and pet a peacock.
Very scary. Very scary, apparently.
Damn.
But he, I guess over the last couple of years, he had gotten a hold of an RCMP uniform, and then he drove around in a decommissioned cop car that was probably the reason why they think he got people to open their homes, because he was shooting people inside of their homes. The first his first victims were his ex-wife and her new boyfriend, which makes a lot of sense. But the thing that doesn't have...
In the sense that a lot of these shootings are very personal.
Do that.
And obviously...
Yes. But he would set fires to the homes as he went. He did this for many hours. It was 14 hours. It started at 10 p.m. Saturday. They don't think that it didn't have anything not to do with the 420 holiday being controversial and having a bad, dark history. So it seems that he might have been motivated by that. They also,
he's like a Hitler birth. This is him celebrating the birth of Adolf Hitler? Is that what they're saying?
He's doing something. I don't know, but it's more about like something that's connected to whatever this holiday makes people connected to. But apparently he wasn't, they closed his business down for a month. They don't know if it's financial. He did not leave any sort of note.
Okay.
They're not saying that he left any sort of note. So we'll find out probably as this investigation furthers.
Yeah.
But he killed a Mountie. right after killing his ex-wife and her boyfriend.
Damn.
And then he just drove around randomly shooting at people and entering people's homes dressed as a police officer, so they trusted him, and he started laying waste to people. But then when they finally caught him, they caught him at a gas station. He died in a full-on shootout where they fucking, he did not, he went down swinging in a bad way. So, but well, we don't really know anything else about the psychology. The reason why it interested me was the prep, and it reminded me of Marvin Heemeyer with his killdozer rampage.
And this is still an ongoing investigation. I'm just getting word over from my personal news assistant over the wire. We are now up to 23 victims. So
Jesus
we still
Christ.
That just came in. We still don't. Who knows? This could go higher. And again, that is devastating. But yes, what is it, Henry? There might be no more dangerous person than the person who wanted to go into the military but couldn't because they were either too not mentally capable, too out of shape, or a person who wanted to be a cop but was rejected. I don't know if there is a more dangerous...
Just give them a plastic gun and run them running around. This is where I think virtual reality games could save us.
Yeah.
Where if we go and we can like plug him into a system where then look, you're a cop.
Right.
Here's all your paperwork, because I don't think you understand just how boring it is to be a cop.
Right.
Most of your life is spent sitting, paperwork, and you know what I mean, having a couple of beers at the station, zipping around, fucking checking some hot girls' taillights, driving around, getting free pizza. Like that's what mostly
would
be a cop.
For checking out hot girls' taillights at some point, then the alcoholism really kicks in. You end up dying of cirrhosis of the liver. Yeah.
Those first 6 months are a blast. It's just you and Steve Gutenberg is there, and he's not a cop either, but he still has his uniform from the Police Academy film.
Great.
So he's fucking hanging out. Being a cop, so I might have actually painted it a little bit rosier than it is, but being a cop is vaguely very boring. And so they have an obsession. We see this John Wayne Gacy was obsessed with being cop. His alter was that cop/detective personality when he used to drive around with the big old like old school like black car with the side spotlight, so people thought he would be a cop when he'd show up, and that's how he'd shake down the sex workers to get into his car, and the next thing you know, he's fucking
isn't that
the magic trick is you.
Isn't that amazing how a single bright light, Zodiac Killer did the same thing. I believe, didn't Bundy at some point pose as like a cop or something
that? I want to say that he did, but also the security agency stuff, BTK.
Yeah.
A Son of Sam wanted to be a cop. He couldn't pull it off. He didn't have the temperament.
No, he did not. So this is according to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police Chief. Say that in one sentence. The Royal Canadian Mounted Chief. Police Chief Superintendent, his name is Chris Leather. When it comes to the victims, he says, we still believe there may be victims still within the remains of those homes which burnt to the ground. So that's why we don't know the exact number.
No, because we don't know, because he set fire to a bunch of houses and people were just like stuck inside of their houses. But again, bringing it up because of Marvin Heemeyer, check out the documentary Tread. Because they do one of the first, like this came out last year and I didn't get a lot of buzz, but it really goes into the life of Marvin Heemeyer and the building of the killdozer. And one of the things that shocked me the most about Tread that I'll say is that he said that, you know, when all of his weird municipal bullshit, like the one thing that really shows is just how much the things that Marvin Heemeyer was upset about, like, were bullshit. And they gave him what he wanted like three times. They tried to buy him out. They were going to buy out his little area, the little thing that they were like, because he was upset about the concrete factory being built next to him, right? That they were making all this concrete. He was getting concrete dust, whatever. Sure.
To be fair, I mean, I understand no one wants to have a home. And then all of a sudden you're like, what you guys doing out there? Building a concrete factory.
All day. But they were going to buy him out for like $300,000. Like, I think $375,000. That was that they were going to, he finally kept, because they would come and say, okay, we'll buy you out. And he's like, that's not enough. And he's like, and then he'd go in and like, how about this? And they're like, sure, we'll give you this amount. And he's like, that's not enough. And so he raised it up to $375,000. And they're like, here you fucking go. And so that wasn't enough for him.
Right.
He got the idea for the killdozer. He said, sitting in his hot tub with a beer. he went one night and just went like, I tell you what I gotta do is I gotta even the playing field. That's his whole thing, is that he kept saying, he's just like, there's a lot of people wondering about the playing field, and I'm going to even the playing field. Like these, he had these long tapes that he would record of explaining everything that what happened to him, quote unquote, what happened to him, and his reaction to everything. And it's like, it's like, oh, you think that we're going to be? It's like, these guys think we're going to be on the same playing field, but they're showing up to play football, and guess what? I'm showing up to play tennis.
Good like, Lord, why didn't he just? He should have just get another beer. And just go back to the hot tub, realize it's not that bad, everything's going to be all right, instead of making yourself a Twisted Metal character, which is literally what he did. The Killdozer, if you haven't seen pictures of it, we've talked about it, I'm sure you have, but he could not have gotten out of that if he wanted to.
No, well, he was supposed to die in it.
He was supposed to die in it. But going back briefly to what happened in Nova Scotia, evidently, this dude, he drove around for 14 hours, and he knocked on residents' doors, he pulled over other victims, and the cops say they must have trusted him because, of course, we're under the quarantine. So that's why there's some speculation that maybe he knew these people. Otherwise, they're saying they were just so enamored by the outfit that they just let him in. And this is like the hard thing for me. At what point do I just get on LA local news in a police chase? And in my head, I'm like, he's not a cop. None of them are cops. None of them are cops. And then it's just
they know you're insane. You know what I mean? Like, that's how they know that you've completely gone insane. You're like, I don't even believe they're cops. Meanwhile, you're like surrounded by police officers and fucking helicopters and shit. You're like, I'm going to need some identification.
But this goes against the very public trust we were supposed to hold true. And
well,
this
that's
is
what's
why
really
this stuff
scary.
Is so scary, yeah.
But the part of it is how the power of the uniform and what it does to people.
It really does.
It does really affect people. You can go and they automatically trust you. I think that's also the inherent reason why the constant weird rampant police brutality that has happened throughout our country over the last couple of years is also extremely just damaging to the idea of police as a whole, because we're supposed to trust them. We're supposed to reach out to them.
Right.
Now we're afraid of them. What the hell are we going to do then? Because then we're literally just stationed with an occupying army that's got all the guns and they got all the hats and the badges.
Still 1,000 people who die every year at the hands of a police officer. About 100.
But I love our cop. But I also know so many of our listeners. We have cop listeners. I know that it's a very difficult job to do. But I think that this, my main takeaway from this is, don't lend a guy your cop uniform no matter what he promises to do to your wife.
Obviously, this man, whatever cuck fascination you have, cop fucks wife. Cop fucks cuck's wife.
We speak with Brian Whitney, an author of a book on Luke Magnotta, for a Patreon interview last week.
Yep.
But he was also roommates with the cannibal cop.
This is one of the rare times. What do you got to give, $1 to get the interviews, or is it $5?
It's $5.
If you want to just do a one-time, just a one-time payment of $5 a month, this interview with Brian Whitney is so interesting because he will call Gil, which is the name of the cannibal cop, which is like really weird.
It's fun to just be. It's your buddy.
It's your buddy. It's my buddy Gil.
He's eating your cereal. You have to go and be like, Gil, did you eat my cereal again? He's like, yeah, but it wasn't my wife. And you're like, I know. You keep saying that. Like, this is going to make me less angry about the cereal.
Right, right. Well, it definitely does put things in perspective, doesn't it? Which I think that's why Gil always has that trump card where he's like, didn't eat your wife, did I?
And you're like, I know, but that can't be the only standard I hold you to.
And that interview on Patreon comes out this week with Brian Whitney. So give that a bit of a listen.
And another bit of a spoiler, he's still horny for eating people.
Yes, he is. We talk about that story. Again, he wrote the book on Elliot Rodgers, Luca Magnotta, and his friends with the cannibal cop, which he just keeps that to himself.
And he's been playing a lot of squash with OJ.
Yes.
Which is so nice. That is satire. I don't know if he has an ongoing relationship with OJ, but OJ, well, he's fucking also calling out Carol Baskin recently, trying to stay relevant.
Speaking of people that are famous for all the wrong reasons, Mary Kay Letourneau is back on dating sites.
Yeah, she is.
So if you're lonely in this quarantine, I think I got the teacher for you. She is interested in, quote, finding someone who is more age appropriate. Of course, she wasn't convicted and spent 7 years in prison for raping a 12-year-old. So this is really one way of saying, oh, I'm looking for someone more age appropriate. It's like, yeah, because that other than 12 years old. Unless you are 11 to 13 years old, you cannot date a 12-year-old.
I wonder if they... do you think she just gets sick of that 12-year-old dick?
I don't...
But what do? You raise... I mean, do you get bored over... Because now everyone... this is the double standard, right? Because we can have this conversation.
Oh, my God. You're going to do that? You're going to do that? Okay.
Yeah. But you get bored a 12-year-old cock. Or do you raise it to be so like fucking pleasant to you that like you got like what do you do? How do you train a 38-year-old man to properly pleasure you?
They're not flowers, man. You can't just be like, go to the sun. You can't form the penis inside of your vagina to make it a perfect penis. That's not the way it works.
But I feel like the penis could almost grow.
Anyway, months after the legal separation, it's only been months since Mary Kay Letourneau and Vili Fula, the former teacher, of course, that she was in prison for raping. I mean, that's what it was.
That is the term. Yeah.
You all know this. After she got out, they married, and then I think at some point
she made it legit
together.
Yeah, she did the Woody Allen, where if you just marry your victim of pedophilia. For some reason, we're all just fucking super chill with it because, you know, you didn't want to be in that fucking prison for the rest of your life.
Hey, and
it's
if you
one or the other, right?
If you want to check out Woody Allen, you can look at him on the New York Times bestseller list
below us.
There you go.
Just where Sung Yi is below him.
Oh, my goodness.
Having fun. I don't know if they're having a lot of sex.
I don't, honestly.
I don't know.
We have a friend. I won't say his name, but he is a big-time mover. He moves. That's like if you're in New York, you're either a mover or a comedian or you're both.
You're both.
He moved Woody Allen, which I don't understand how they let this man in.
Really?
Yeah. Dude.
How was it?
He said that Sun Yi was very mean, and she stood there and she watched him do everything, and he said it was just a very strange sensation to be in that home, and I don't know if there's a lot of joy there.
I don't think so. No, absolutely not. I don't think things are getting easier over there as well.
No, I really don't. But this is back to Mary Kay Letourneau, according to a source, which I'm assuming is just her friend, Pam. I don't know what everyone's like a top secret source. No one's smoking a cigarette in the shadows talking about this. No one's like going to a dark alley to get more information on Mary Kay Letourneau's sex life.
Yeah, I think she is the deep throat. Or not so deep throat because it was a 12-year-old boy.
You said it there.
See?
So this is according to a source. She's on at least one dating site that I know of. And they go on to say, but she's also been on the apps. She's just casually looking around to see if there's anyone. She's not someone who does well by herself.
She's still very attractive.
She is now, she looks fine. She's 58 years old now.
Let me look at her picture.
According to what?
She looks pretty good.
She does. I mean, there's a.
He's a man now. He's a man now, baby.
Yeah.
So it's fine now. It's all done now.
Well,
because he's a man now, baby.
The source continued saying she's been talking to a few guys and she's interested in someone who is age appropriate. She knows that her best shot at happiness is to find someone who is closer to her age. I'm just happy she's not going after 12-year-olds. At 58, she can go after anyone over 18, and they will almost seem 12 because that's how old she's become now, which is fine. I mean, people age.
Do you think this will be flipped into an idea of people saying that you can grow out of pedophilia or you could grow out of being? Because my thing is, I know we're supposed to say here that I guess that what this meant is that she, I guess she is a pedophile still.
She is.
Right?
Yeah, always one.
But do you think that this is a smokescreen? And she's saying older in order to meet whoever older's like kids, and then she'll start fucking the kids.
If I had teenagers around the house, I wouldn't allow her to come over because I've seen what Pornhub is doing, and I don't want these kids to be inspired.
Them. It's training them to make even more love to their teachers than before.
Well, if you really
and their
want,
mommies.
If you really want a fun episode of Able Against Top Hat, I interview someone who's a sex therapist for non-offending pedophiles. So you do. It's
so much fun. But I don't. But non-offending pedophiles.
It is a real thing, and obviously she offended, so she doesn't have much, you know, sympathy on that front. But
non-offending pedophile sounds like me staring at my weed pile and being like, I'm not smoking right now, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I have all of this weed just waiting for me, and I know I'm gonna smoke it. But sometimes I have to wait till Natalie like leaves or goes to work out.
It's
so
kind of like that, I suppose.
You have to wait till people leave, till all searing eyes. If all eyes, if NAMBLA won, which is getting closer every day.
Yeah, it seems like it, right?
It's getting closer and closer every day to being successful. If NAMBLA won, the idea of like normalizing just them hanging out and just being able to go on a date with a 10-year-old boy, I don't know if that's that. I mean, like, because even if it's a no touchy-touchy date,
you
just
can't go on dates
y'all
with
know,
children.
Y'all singles know. As soon as they say it's a date, it becomes a whole different thing. So if you take a child out, and it's like, you know, if you're going out for ice cream and stuff, and if your uncle, like, and if you're just the kid's uncle, that's a nice day, and that's normal. But if you start saying, like, pick you up at 8, I'm the one wearing the red rose.
Well, if you're in a custody dispute, you do have to let the child know when you're going to be there, and hopefully you're on time so they can build trust.
Yeah, but if you're taken to a place with checkered tablecloth and candles, that's a date.
That's just a Chuck E. Cheese.
Depends on what city you're in.
That's very true. So the insider for Mary Kay Letourneau goes on to say she's had a lot of time to reflect on the mistakes she's made. Choices that
she
led
has.
To problems.
She fully unmarried the man. She married the mistake.
But he divorced her ass. So the insider continues, she's at the age where she thinks about her past and wonders what her future will look like. It's very uncertain. So Mary Kay Letourneau, she's back on the prowl. She's 58 years old. Falua, her now ex-husband, former victim, is 36. Apparently they split. And again, this is according to the source, and this kind of makes me want to gag. But according to the source, Falua and Letourneau split because, quote, the intimacy was gone.
She's just going to find another boy. She's going to say more age appropriate, and it's going to be like a 21-year-old. Which, again,
that's
I mean, if it's legal,
21,
it's legal.
Yes. I mean, hey, you know, the whole thing, it's really just about 18 and over. I don't judge anyone who does anything with people who are 18 and over. The source goes on to say, for years, there was hope it would work about the relationship. Again, I can see where the pitfalls might be.
Yeah.
And, quote, there was hope until the time where it was clear that the hope had faded away. I'm not surprised they got married. This is according to Letourneau's lawyer and friend, David Gerke. And he said, I'm not surprised in this day and age. Oh, my God, this is hilarious. So he says, I'm not surprised they got married. And then he also goes on to say, and I'm not surprised in this day and age that they are separated.
You really think that this is what this is? That this is a 2020 thing?
This is
not. Because marriages are hard? No, she fucking raped and groomed a boy that somehow, I mean, now he's just released. But I hope that she can raise and groom a man.
Absolutely. You know, men are in.
You
I
need
living
it.
Alone right now, and I.
You
just
really
had to,
could use some of her. You could use some of that loving touch.
If you're a 58-year-old woman and you're looking to take care of a grown man boy, please come on over. I got toilets to clean.
He's
I don't even
good
understand
for
how much there's so much poop in my toilet. It's just me.
He'll eat it. He'll fuck it. He can't make dinner.
No,
but he will be there. He'll listen to you talk about that crazy girl at work. Kissel is a very good sounding board for a 58-year-old woman.
Can you imagine Mary Kay Letourneau coming home and talking about the crazy person at work and just cut to the so-called crazy person at work just being like, yeah, so that child rapist is now at my office. She thinks I'm weird because I have a bunch of tchotchkes because I love Aaron Judge. I think he's just going
to
be rookie of the year, and I think the Yankees have a chance this year. She thinks I'm crazy.
She feels that she's one of those. She can't be a pedophile because she's a hot woman.
Oh, disgusting. All right, well, let's go on.
And we're not letting them, we're not letting these hot chicks get away with it.
Absolutely not. No one gets away with it.
Hot chicks can still be villains.
Absolutely.
They often are.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. No matter what kind of work you do, how you communicate is key. All those emails, reports, and presentations are equally important to the collaboration needed to get things done. And Grammarly can help. Grammarly is your AI writing partner to help you communicate more effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact at work. And isn't that what matters most? Better writing means a stronger impact. Grammarly works across 500,000 apps and websites. You can't escape it. Like the ever-pervasive octopus of malice that is the NSA. Grammarly is watching your every move, making sure that you're doing it right. Data privacy and security are woven into the foundation of Grammarly, into the very essence of its nature. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner, and it helps your team make their point and move faster, because that's the key there. Work smarter, not harder. Yes, Grammarly. You know how many times it saves me from writing a long, rambling, one-sentence email at 4 o'clock in the morning to my beloved employees? Makes me sound like someone who doesn't just have a BA in theater. All right, I was taught how to be a tree. I was not taught how to survive as an adult. All right, my job was to cry in front of a weird Southern man who just told me all sorts of weird stuff about my body. I didn't learn how to write. So thank you, Grammarly, because you're making me the boss I gotta be to motivate my team to get out there. And, oh, man, you don't want to mess with them. Thanks, Grammarly. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Sign up and download for free. Grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors. It's a waste. Don't waste hours on apps. Besides appetizers, that's the kind of apps I like. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Did you know that empanada is already Spanish? I didn't. Thanks, Babbel. Did you know that burrito is already Spanish? Wow! I just got to learn all the rest. And eventually, I'm going to be eating downtown Mexico. Thanks, Babbel. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at Babbel.com/left. Get up to 60% off at Babbel.com/left, spelled Babbel.com/left. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This story I want to talk about. It's an older story that got rebumped up a couple of days ago on Reddit, but I have to talk about it because I find it absolutely fascinating. Mm-hmm. The story first broke in October of 2019. This is from the Honolulu News.
Ooh.
This takes place in beautiful, beautiful Hawaii.
That's great.
Here we go. This is Honolulu. This is from the article, the first article, and we'll start from here.
I just feel like the Honolulu news. You open up, and every page three, there's just either a fake penis or a fake set of boobs that you can just grab, and then you move on, and every paper has it.
I love that. No, another day in coconut news. I don't know why I made it Jamaican.
I don't know.
He violated our home, says family that came home to find stranger living there.
Oh.
James and Brittany Campbell said that they had been gone for a week to visit family on the mainland, and when they returned, they got the surprise of their lives. Got to the front door, and when I got there, there was a stranger at the door, said James Campbell. I yelled at him to get out of the house. Get out of the house.
Yeah.
James said he was able to convince the man to come out and watched him before police arrived on the scene. Now, this, first of all, how scary is this?
Horrifying.
You come home, somebody's house, he was wearing all of his clothes, right? This man was saying he was wearing James Campbell's clothes inside his house. He asked him to leave. Cops came, picked him up. So they're like, okay, let's see what's going on here. And it wasn't until he got inside of the home that they saw what was truly going on. He had been living there for up to a week.
Okay.
He had built what was seemed to be some sort of shrine of things from their own home that were in a pile, all covered with piss. The house was ransacked.
Okay. Well,
things
were
piled and stuff.
Henry, just to stick on that for a second, you know about shrines. We've spoken with people that create shrines, the power of shrines. We all believe in the power of those things. What would a piss pile of clothes be? What is that? Like, what's the? Is there a certain? Is there a saint? Any kind of ghost or entity that is the piss pile of pants entity?
It lets other witches know that that's your piss pile, because they come and they smell it, and they'll leave a little trace too, just to say hello to you as well.
Okay,
but so that's not just that. So okay, he came in a house, then he saw something was weird with their fucking Xbox. He looked up a bunch of trans. He looked up a lot of alternative lifestyle pornography, transgender porn, all over their Xbox. Right, the kids are there.
Okay.
But it basically, he then left a series of writings, an old laptop that they left inside the home. Now this has all been revealed since they posted all of this on Reddit at the r true crime subreddit. Now it was the guy's wife, who's the Honeybee Royale. They came in.
This is straight from the source. The couple that was the victims actually
the victims
talked
of
about
this.
Okay.
They found a series of notes, and this is the reason why they are now trying to get this bumped up in the eyes of the news, because when he was arrested, he was immediately let go on this bail relief program that they have in Honolulu, where he was arrested. He was immediately left, but he doesn't have an address in Honolulu. The man that broke into their home was a man by the name of Ezekiel Zayas, who actually comes from Bridgeport, Connecticut. According to some Redditor sleuthers, found out that he actually was coming to Honolulu to speak to some quote-unquote doctor, according to Zayas's mother. They don't know how he got there. So he traveled across the Pacific to get to Honolulu.
Okay.
And according to these writings that they found inside of their home, apparently, he had been watching this family for a long time, and he knew some of the people's names inside the home, or named them. He knew that there was a wife, two younger boys, and he wrote in these writings a series of, I'm going to say convoluted, ramblings about how he was going to abduct, drug, and surgically alter the family, because right now they were a lower life form called an omnivore, and he was going to raise them up to a spiritual creature named an Ezekiel.
Well, they got the freaking house that he's broken into. How are they a lower species? He's the one breaking into their home.
Keish is asserting his dominance as a higher level being. They found video of him shaving half of his head and face, which is very similar to the Bjork assassin, the potential Bjork assassin. I forget his name, but that was another fucking rabbit hole to go down.
Maybe
but
this is
he used the wife's makeup to cover himself in sort of like tribal drawings.
Okay.
And started yelling at the screen. Which, again, I've been there. I mean, coronavirus.
Oh, of course. We're screaming into the windows all day long. But is there, and again, if you're a psychologist out there, because I don't think Henry and I can answer this question, but when it comes to shaving the head, Lee, you were talking about Bjork. I'm also thinking of Britney, and I support Britney. I support her breakdown. Leave Britney alone. I've said that since day one. She shaves her head. What is it, do you think, when it comes to just the action of shaving one's head? Is that like a transformation for them? Is that when they can go fully on into fantasy because now they've like, it's just interesting. Hair has been talked about very often, even like the Bible. What is it, Samson or whatever?
Samson, very good, Kissel. Very good.
I, you ingrained in my sexual fetishizing of Samson by all evangelical women can never be understood.
Because the strength in his beautiful hair.
They love him.
But I feel it every day. I feel my strength waning. but I believe it's got a lot to do with the cleansing process and the idea that you are becoming, like, it's why monks shave their heads. It's like an acolyte process where you become sort of, the idea is that if a group of people all shave their heads, they all sort of look the same.
Right.
And you kind of are, you're lessening your identity to become more of a vessel for other energies quite a bit. Or it's a, the kind of the hero's journey where you're prepping yourself before some transformative experience. But I want to read some of his writing. So she posted, Honeybee Royale posted some of the writings that he did on this computer. And I want to read some of this because I love getting to the sort of like the backdoor brains of some of these more maladjusted people. So this is the first thing you open up. So this has happened in your home.
Okay.
You then open up your family computer and this is on a Word document. First thing.
Okay. So let's just, again, you walk home, you got your kids in tow. You just got him out of the house. Go to the couch. I can't wait to
turn
on my Xbox.
The kids are in a hotel. They put the kids in a hotel immediately.
Oh, okay.
And so now you're home. The house is covered in piss and shit, right?
Oh,
it's been ransacked. He's covered the everything in fucking, and then you don't know yet with the extent of everything. You open your computer and you see this document. Most know the story of the Antichrist. They've seen movies and heard stories about how he'd be this evil man that will control everyone and possibly label them to, I don't know, maybe go to hell and never return to Earth. But what if that story was all bullshit? What if he was just a kid? What if he was just a soul chosen to open the world's eyes to things that they weren't able to see themselves? The faults in government, the signs of medical malpractice, the good and the evil in music and technology, and possibly even the truth about the gods that we serve for so many years.
Yo.
The men chosen before me were relentless, choosing to remain in one field of study and trying to do things that would please man instead of everyone. But everyone, I mean, animals, humans, omnivores, aliens, spirits. Now, of course, you can't please everyone, but there are ways to show that just we're on each other's team. Yesterday, I realized that everything here is spiritual warfare. I should have known this already, but yeah, he came to me yesterday. When the party was over and everyone departed, I left the TV on and began to play music. Most of you already know that. Most already know that. Which
you
put like one of those funny crying places.
Yeah,
one of those funny emojis.
What are you thinking on music? I could see this going comically strange in the Smash Mouth direction where he just truly thinks it's
good. Us watching you, watching me.
What?
He also is he's a amateur hip hopper.
Oh, okay.
According to his Instagram. So he was a musician. That's a part of the reason why they think that maybe he even found them is that apparently the husband of this story, the father of the two kids, who is not the girlfriend of the wife of the father is not the mother of the two kids, but he was a fairly recognizable musician.
Oh,
okay. He was a touring musician. They think that he might have been attracted to them because of that, when they're not really certain why, right? But when I left it on, I noticed the artists. I recognized that they were just sad, and they were stuck in the TV, almost waiting for things to get better. He was watching television. He was watching music videos, and he said that they were stuck inside the television.
They were stuck in the TV. Huh.
This lesson literally goes for itself as well, because right now I'm just a kid in a huge house with everything I need to become a great man. And sometimes I take it for granted, but I am trying. I am trying to work hard for the things I need. And even more, I want to enjoy my time doing it. All my life I've been in training. It's weird because I used to think I was living a normal life. My eyes fooled me, but nothing is ever as it seems. So keep going. Now the training that I am in at the moment is probably my favorite of all. The middle ground, where things aren't really fully finished, but almost on the other side.
That is the worst part of everything.
So
being
scary.
In the middle is the worst.
That's so scary, but that's what he's saying here. I say, I'm going to have to keep this place forever. I pray that I can build a foundation here. My family will be great. My career will flourish, and the world will see blessed things. I just have to know when to keep my big mouth shut sometimes and enjoy my life. And don't we, Kissel, have to be more appreciative of our stations.
Of course, sure.
But what he basically then does is that he says, he starts to describe the family with the things that he needs to fix on them, surgically. Because this is the training ground that he's in order to make this new family, this family that he has been, because all he had taken out all the family pictures and he had lined them all up. So he had big plans for this family and he diagnosed them just from the pictures. So mother's current diagnosis was she, omnivore, age unknown, her gender is male, height 6'2", weight 400 pounds, normal woman, completely normal size. None of this is true.
Yeah, of
hair color, color black, white woman. Hair type, fur. Skin, discolored, dry, and itchy. Just saying, this is a very insulting thing to say about a woman.
Sure.
Just from looking at a picture of her. Fingers 4 to 3 inches long. She had stubby arms, 12 inches long, with pink chicken-like hands. That all has to be fixed. 3 foot long legs. Her health issues that he found out in this, he said, just look at the picture, complaints of boils and skin agitation on her penis, toe fungus, itchy anus. And a lot of what he said here is that he's going to do quite a bit of surgery on her anus. If you look at some of this footage here, and he said the ways of a lot of hard work that he's going to have to do, because there's going to his with this family, his work was really cut out for him.
Okay.
So, because he said the main problem that the wife had is that he diagnosed her with Down syndrome just from a picture.
But she doesn't have Down syndrome.
Absolutely not normal. This, I'm going to say just a hashtag normal looking woman. Just you couldn't tell from the, I guess, she didn't have a visible, right? But he said the main thing is that he's really going to have to figure out how to do anything about that. But, you know, but Down syndrome for him, according to him, now this is probably just going to be the hardest for me because all I know is that extra... Because all I know about Down syndrome is that there is an extra chromosome. And it's apparently in there. So it affects speech. It affects eye movement. It affects facial movements. So in order for me to remove a chromosome, I'm really going to need to have to take samples of blood and poop or even cum from the wife to even figure out how to get her stop being Down syndrome. And she says, according to his writing here, I need more time with this. I need to treat Macy, which he was calling the wife Macy throughout this whole thing, more like a pet. I need to get to realize everything's okay. Yes, she's going to be the first subject that we've seen what I can do with. And of course, they might not exactly be created yet. She will be my best one of all. Now,
that's a little, I'm going to say this is crazy.
Yeah, but now the main thing is this guy was immediately released.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I wanted to talk about. Also, if he went back to the 1300s, he would just be the number one doctor in town.
He's literally just
the fact that he would mention a chromosome. They would be like, oh, well, he is onto something.
Mm-hmm.
So
but he was released, right?
Yes.
So they were first kind of afraid. So they started 2 weeks ago. They received a call from a woman. So apparently during the time period that this guy was alone in this house living there, police were called to the home without the owners there. And Ezekiel Zayas got into some form of domestic dispute with, they believe, his girlfriend or somebody that he brought to that house. So he wasn't even alone in that house over the week. He brought somebody over to the house.
He had a girlfriend with him?
Yeah, a girlfriend. Something. They got into a physical argument, but I guess the cops just let it go.
Pile. They got into a fight over the piss pile. They didn't own the home, and the cops just said,
Ezekiel, how much piss did you put on this?
I just did what I did, you know. Yeah. I drank a bunch of water. I had 2 or 3 BLs. Yeah, so I did it. Being like,
you are so fucking lazy. I need more piss on this shit.
Do not make BL complicit in this, by the way.
I need to see more piss on this. But he went and they went and so police came and so 2 weeks ago, the family gets a call from an unknown woman that they said was screaming, where are your kids? I need to speak to the kids. She's like, what are you talking about? We don't know you. She's like, I need to speak to the boys. And acted as if it was normal. Like,
oh,
it was the aunt that was calling them. So, and
like, Mary Kay Letourneau, is that you calling my house again?
I just want to see, I'm just trying to see if, you know, just new blood.
Uh-huh.
I need new blood. But they, apparently, the couple is holding back some information because they're waiting for the police to get truly involved. And they believe that they might be targeted by literally a group of people that might be kind of aligned with whatever Ezekiel Zayas believes.
Well, I think the cops probably have some splaining to do because they bungled this case. So it was September 22nd, 2019. That's when Zayas was formally charged. September 26th, pled not guilty. He was allowed to go. Then, October 9th, Zayas is arrested for robbery at a Buddhist study center near the University of Hawaii. And then February 2nd, Zayas is deemed unfit to stand trial and is committed to a Hawaii state hospital. I just think at least he's in a hospital now. I understand bail reform. I'm actually a total advocate for bail reform. But at some point, you have to look at the evidence in front of you and say maybe this guy needs to be either in jail or in a hospital. No need to send him back out.
Now he got, I guess he got re-picked back up for burglarizing a Buddhist temple.
That's what put him in the mental hospital officially, yes. Because they're like, he's too crazy for jail, but we got to do something because obviously do something with this him because guy he can't, is not.
Yeah. But if you look up, according to this, the onesinglebullet.com, I don't know what else is on this website, but I definitely looked up this. The person who runs this website does a little bit more of a deep dive into Ezekiel Zayas. And I don't know, man. It just sounds like he might have been, like, recruited. He might have been brought to Honolulu. We don't really know why or how. He did not have a record. The first arrest that he had was that he got, he went missing in Bridgeport in August. So they were looking for him. His mom was looking for him. There was a missing persons out. When they found him in Honolulu, he received a criminal citation for smoking in a prohibited place.
That was the big problem?
On September 12th.
Not the pile of Duke that he was peeing on outside of a Chick-fil-A?
It didn't happen yet.
You can't smoke. You're going to have to put that cigarette out, sir.
I mean, that's the biggest crime. It fucking makes your show R-rated.
Yeah, that is true.
Do you even look at a cigarette?
Yeah, that is true. I was watching some old sports, and I do love all of the advertising for Marlboro. Marbs are everywhere in the 80s and early 90s. And
I miss when baseball players would smoke.
Yeah,
I miss seeing them smoke.
All right. Well, that story, it's a bit of an older story, but I'm sure we will continue to hear more updates. And I think you're right. It probably should have gotten more attention. So I'm happy that this woman was able to use Reddit and explain her horror story because that's got home invasion, psychotic person trying to kill your kids, trying to treat you like a pet because he thinks you have down. That's a menagerie of horror.
So many insane twists and turns. But I mean, we'll get to the center of this. Obviously, Ezekiel Zayas is correct. And I really can't wait for, I don't know if my insurance is going to cover me being turned into an Ezekiel, but I really hope they can scrub some of my Down syndrome.
I think that would be absolutely wonderful as well, just for the company. One of us has to start learning math.
I have to figure out, I am going to be our new accountant. And we are going to do well. We certainly will not go to jail for that.
No way.
I mean, taxes, schmaxes.
Taxes.
And they love when you write that and you say that when you send that in on the forms.
Yeah, of course. Just send it with a picture of your pothole. Scott, don't even get me going on pothole. I will have a 60 Minutes Mickey Rooney moment. Andy Rooney, Mickey Rooney. I always get those confused.
It's all falling apart.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life. How much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy. Because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lastpod.
Ah, Jules. Oh, Jules. Make a wife smile today. The road to getting engaged can be long and full of memories and pitfalls and landmines. Or it can be short and thrilling, like a roller coaster on the way to the police department. But the road to finding the perfect engagement ring is a straightforward path every time. All you've got to do is head over to BlueNile.com, and they're going to ship them rocks straight to your wife's new fingers. On BlueNile.com, you can create a bigger, more brilliant piece than you can imagine. At a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler, Blue Nile is the original online jeweler since 1999. That's present time to me. Their diamond price guarantee means that in most cases, they can meet or beat a competitor's price on a comparable diamond. I know when I got my wife a beautiful Blue Nile necklace, the first thing she did was, "What did you do?" But afterwards, she was so happy to have it, and she loved it, and she wore it when we went on vacation, and my own, did everybody come around being like, "Where'd you get that piece, you beautiful woman?" And I was like, "Stop talking to my wife. She's spoken for. You can see it with the Blue Nile bling she's got on her." Right now, get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LASTPODCAST at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code LASTPODCAST at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Anyway, so should we do Hero of the Week?
Do it!
All right, this week's Hero of the Week, it's actually a country that has a lot of problems when it comes to civil rights and stuff like that. But I think the way they're handling the stay inside order for coronavirus is just a little bit more fun than the way that we're handling it.
I like this concept that they're doing.
So in Indonesia, there are, you know, obviously they're trying to confront the virus and they're like, stay at home. And people are like, we don't want to stay at home. So in order to get people to stay at home, they are deploying, and this is true, quote, ghosts to scare people into staying inside.
So fucking good.
And if you
good.
You can find this on The Independent, Indonesia deploying ghosts to scare people into staying inside. And it's actually terrifying. They have pictures of the ghosts. By government standards, they actually nailed it.
Think about how much fun it would be to be a government employee that is essentially a spook house actor.
It's
that your
so
job
fun.
Is to go and just being like, "So can I look be can I be a skeleton with a mace?" They're like, "Love creativity, go out and do that. Here's your grant." And it's like, "Can I be the violator from
sure.
Spawn?" It's like, "You already got the hair, Mrs. Zabrowski. Fucking go jump in there."
Yeah, it's the hair, not the body. That's what I say.
Hello. It is both. We know that it's both.
So apparently Indonesia has some of the highest rates of coronavirus deaths in Asia just after China. So they're like, what the hell are we going to do? And this is what the government came up with. They say, quote, we wanted to be different and create a deterrent effect because Pokan are spooky and scary. I'm assuming that's their term for ghosts.
It's this creature, right? Whatever I'm looking at, you sent me this creature.
Yes.
Which is fucking scary looking. It looks like a fucking evil trash bag.
It looks like
fucking the death metal fucking makeup. With corpse paint.
If the character the nun had a stepchild,
that's so fucking cool.
So this is what they were trying to do. So these quote shroud ghosts represent the souls of the dead. They jump out from the grave to warn people that the soul needs to be released from the shroud in which it is buried. Now this is why. They're doing this. Some people remain superstitious in Indonesia. It also won't come as too much of a surprise that others actually came outside to try to catch a glimpse of the volunteer actors. They're calling them actors, although they are ghosts. Let's be true here. Though one person did point out that the ghost should be careful not to spread the virus themselves, because as we all know, the virus doesn't discriminate.
No, so. It doesn't. And how fucking, oh my God, this ghost came to my fucking home trying to make us stay inside and got us all sick. It's like what's the name of it? Remember that movie with the little monkey with the symbols?
Monkey Shine.
That's like ding, 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 ding.
Apparently,
it's like coughing.
Apparently, it is working. This is according to resident Carno Supodomo. Supodomo? Anyway, they say, since the Pokan appeared, parents and children have not left their homes, and people will not gather or stay on the streets after evening prayers. So
it's fucking
I
so good.
Guess it is working. And I don't know. I mean, it's controversial hero of the week because I don't even know if it's a good thing, but Indonesia, your scare tactics are the hero of the week because I personally want to see, I want to look out my way. If we're going to live in an apocalyptic world as we are right now, which again, it will pass. But I want to look out the window and see a clown. I want to see a clown waving at me. I want to see it.
Hi. No, we're getting some of that. Ed and I were talking about, so yesterday, Ed saw a dude whipping in the street, which is fun for me. I got to go and join him. Also, Jackie's boyfriend, Jeff, has been doing the same thing.
No, what are you talking about? There's a lot of whip. I'm thinking in a car, like whipping shitties.
No, dude, with a whip, bullwhip.
With a whip. Okay.
And yesterday, I was doing my little quarantine walk to give Natalie just like fucking moments of peace, just of break.
I can only imagine the horror that she's experiencing right
she's
now.
She's just always in the eye of the hurricane.
Oh, also, happy birthday, Miss Natalie Jane.
I love my wife.
Send her birthday love. Send her birthday wishes. She's on Instagram, on everything. You can always find her and say happy birthday.
She's just the freshest 21-year-old girl ever.
She's not. That's actually kind of rude if you would say. But
she's sexy. No, she's my sexy, beautiful wife.
Yes.
And what's nice when you're into MILFs like me,
MILFs without children, though, apparently. You have a small bit of caveat.
But I was walking down the street the other day, and a man in an ice cream hat. Things are dead out here. Like, dead.
Yeah.
Streets are empty. Guy was coming down the street, full yellow bicyclette outfit, like a little biker's outfit, like neon yellow, with an ice cream, like, salesman's hat on, and he was just going in a circle. He was going in a circle, zip-zopping, going around.
Okay.
I'm like, what is he doing? He sees me. He's got a mask on. He sees me. He gives me, like, he gives him the eyes. He drives past, and he goes, psychedelics, mushrooms, acid. And I was like, man, this is like fucking Bonnaroo.
That is kind of, did you get something?
No. I technically have mushrooms.
That story turned into such a cool experience, though, man. This guy sees the market, and he's driving to it.
Capitalism is still happening. He saw it. He saw an opportunity to make a hustle.
That's what it is.
And honestly, and I love it, but that was a good apocalypse outfit. I really appreciated it. And I'm going to start upping my own apocalypse outfits.
What are you going to go with? What are you thinking?
I mean, mostly Eddie, number one that you said too, I need to start wearing my nice sneakers out, even if I'm just going to do it. So
I'm wearing my bronze today. I honestly realized sometimes you get bit by the depression bug, and then once you start smelling yourself.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And it does sneak up.
It does.
It does sneak up because we live in a very noisy world. especially us as performers, right? And what we do in our normal lives. So again, we like nightlife, going out to bars, going to, like, living a public life. It is a very big and intense and fucking intrinsic part of our existence. Like, specifically us, and I know many stripes of people in this country that are fucking extroverts.
Oh, yeah.
And there is some damage that happens when shit, when the quiet comes in and the noise of our busy lives lead.
Henry, and then, Henry, why is the quiet so loud, though?
I don't like the quiet. I don't like it either. But you forget, all of this shit comes to the surface. And I was like, no. You get out of here, you funny little brain devils. But they keep coming.
Of course.
The brain devils come. But now, but that's why I've been trying to come what it is, but it's truth. It's an uneasy relationship with both the silence. I'm trying to let it, like my litany against fear, like Dune. Like, I will not fear. Like, let the silence pass over me. Know that I can hear my thoughts outside of my skull. You know what I mean? Like, I can hear the thoughts coming out of my ears like they're Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Full speakers, which is bad. But I also, yeah. So,
I mean, honestly, what I do,
that's what happens.
If you ever watch one of those videos back in the day when we still had freedom, when people could ride motorcycles around a globe and then inside the globe was also a bear.
Yep.
It's kind of like that. But it just like zoom, 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 and it never stops. And then you're just putting on your own radio show in your own brain, and then you talk to someone after 18 hours, and then they're like, "Have you lost your mind?" I'm like, "No, I've been getting entertained by myself." And then that,
I also didn't know I left my mouth speaker on as well.
Yeah,
because that's the problem. Then the mouth speaker comes, and then now we have just so many fun ways of telling everybody all of our thoughts.
Acid.
Do we have any
interesting listener mail this week?
No, here it comes. Here it comes. I got a couple. They're not as juicy as I'd like them to be. I think it was a hard week for some people. So what I think, I'm looking for funny ass stories and whatever is weird.
Uh-huh.
So send us your shit. And also anything scary, you know, we want the fucking spooks. We're going to be having more and more of that. We're in the middle of a heavy hitter right now in Last Podcast and Left, but we're going right back to weird shit. We'd already done the work on our heavy hitter before when all this hit. So now we're already, so you'll see, but join us.
Weird shit is the best release right now.
Oh, here we go. This is another Army story. In late 1950s, my dad joined the U.S. Navy. A Navy story. I don't want to get everybody fucking in arms.
You have a hatred for the Navy? Is that it?
I love the Navy. No, I am. My father's a Navyman. My father was a submariner. I'm built to be a Navyman. I'm the same height as my father. I'm built to be in the tube.
I was watching, I love that document. I watched a documentary on He-Man. For some reason, I'm finding these toy documentaries and history of the cartoons that we loved to be
Natalie
quite
loves
interesting.
Them. Yeah.
But there was a He-Man character, which then became, I believe it became, I don't know, Wet Man or something. But
yes.
His first name was Seaman. And then the guy who created it was like, we couldn't stick with semen. Apparently, it just caused a lot of questions. So I forget what they ended up calling him. But anyway.
Probably like a fish fucker.
Yeah, something like that.
There we go. He was eventually assigned to a position as a radar operator, same as Lee Harvey Oswald.
Oh.
And a Lockheed EC-121 Warning Star surveillance aircraft that flew patrols across the North Atlantic from Newfoundland to the Azores as a part of the U.S. military's early warning system against Soviet attacks. Next week, I will be doing more coverage about Tom DeLonge and the TTSA.
Awesome.
And his working with a thing called the NRO. Have you ever done any reading into the NRO, Kissel?
I'm just getting into the TTSA.
We'll talk about the NRO. The NRO is a government agency that only was acknowledged by the U.S. government fucking 15 years ago. And they are the group that coordinates all of the gigantic reconnaissance satellites that
was
are all over the globe.
Was all that shit, was that something that came out with like all the Harry Reid revelations and stuff like that? Or is
no.
This is before
no.
that?
This is before that, but Tom DeLonge basically used whatever his money was. We'll get into it. But essentially,
cool.
TTSA is a slush fund for him to essentially bilk UFO interested people to give him a bunch of money, and he has a board of directors that he could do anything he wanted with, and they went right to making television shows instead of investigating science. But it's a whole thing.
Okay, great. Can't wait to get into that next week. I know there's a lot of controversy within the community.
So he was on one of these surveillance aircrafts. So one day they were going about their patrol as usual when the base called in wanting to know why they hadn't heard from the plane for the last 15 minutes or so. So think about this. One of the most high-tech pieces of technology in the sky just goes missing for 15 minutes. The crew was confused, as they had been in constant contact per procedure and sent a response to that effect. Trying to figure out what happened, they compared the chronometer readings on the plane with those on the ground and found that the plane was 15 minutes behind.
What?
They couldn't figure out a reason for the discrepancy. No one on the plane had any sense of lost time or any memory of anything that might have happened during that time, and nothing unusual had been spotted in the air. After the crew landed, they were told by higher-ups not to mention the incident to anybody. Kind of feels a little bit, has a little bit of the Philadelphia Project.
Yeah, I'm thinking, right? It reminds me of, like,
don't know.
Yeah, Contact, all those films.
Could have been just a general fuck-up, but who knows?
Right.
Another story that may not be related, some years later, my dad sat for the civil service exam. At one point, he bumped into this guy he recognized, but who also recognized him. They knew each other's names, wives' names. It was like they were old friends, but they couldn't figure out how they knew each other. They compared notes, and it turned out they had lived, worked, or had been stationed in the same places several times, but none of the time frames overlapped. They'd always missed each other by at least a few months, so as far as either one of them could tell, they had never been in the same place at the same time. The conversation eventually came to an end, and they said their goodbyes and went their separate ways. He never did figure out where they'd met, and he eventually forgot the guy's name, and he never saw him again. So, fucking just weird. Just weird missing time. Who knows?
Yeah, very weird. Cool this story. Thank you for that email.
This is a story I think that... I'm just going to end it with this one, because I just think that we could all find ourselves in this, especially because, you know, people are feeling lonely.
Yeah.
So here we go. I was reminded of a story from a remark Henry made about cuckolds and recently on a recent episode. My husband was a part of a pretty solid group of guys in high school that played a lot of D&D on the weekends. They had a friend that we will call Frank. He was borderline morbidly obese, so much so that he had a lot of health problems even as a teenager.
To be fair, you cannot be borderline morbidly obese.
You are.
You just are.
It's one or the other. It's one or the other. I am still obese.
Yeah, we all are.
Skip to the college years. My husband and his friends had to make food rules so that they could actually bring girls around, right, for Frank. So one of them was Frank was not allowed to eat chicken in front of anyone. Something about sucking the marrow out of every single one of the bones out of a whole chicken, like snapping the bones. That's bad. That's fucking that's goon territory.
I mean, if you're obese, you also don't have to eat like you're fat bastard.
No, you can also
just eat with a knife and fork.
Well, that was part of my shame. That was on part of the reason why, like, my heaviest when I was like over 300 pounds, I didn't want to eat in front of anybody because I thought people were being like, "Look at him go." You know what I mean? Like, look at him go. You'd love to see it. So I don't know. See, she's like, so according to this writer, like, I've only witnessed it once and only reminded me of that guy. And I only seen him eat once. And it reminded me of the guy who exploded in that Monty Python sketch.
Love
right?
that.
So,
great sketch.
It was not that terrifying. So anyways, during one of their weekly Vampire the Masquerade sessions, Frank tells them about this woman that he's been seeing and having sex with. Right. He casually just kind of goes on to say that afterwards, she feeds him a whole roasted chicken and the best damn dumplings he's ever eaten with biscuits, gravy, and then a big slice of apple pie. And then she just tells him to go home, and he goes home. She just calls him weekly. He comes over. They fuck. He eats and then leaves. Immediately, my husband and his three other friends were like, dude, that's like super weird. All right, you might want to check out, I'm just going to say, that you're maybe being videotaped. Frank understandably thinks, I mean, hey, he hit the jackpot. And he's like, fuck this. Yeah, sure. And he just continues the relationship for months. This must have been on his mind, though, because one day, finally, during the deed, you notice the door was slightly cracked.
Right?
And afterwards, he flung the door open. Sure enough. Not only was he being filmed,
oh my God,
but her husband was in there, nude. And this is in the late 90s, right? Then this took
what?
Place. So the camera was huge, right? It was one of those huge cameras. So I had a really hard time believing this, according to the writer. I had a really hard time believing any of this until I met Frank. And then it all came together. Because he told me then he ran out without his complimentary chicken menu and all they offered him money to come back.
Oh my God.
And he said, no, I'm not a sex worker.
Well, I mean, if you're Frank, if they would just... It's really the secretive nature of the whole thing that's the problem.
I would have taken the money. You're getting laid.
There's a lot of different things there. So who do you think had the fetish for the big man, the husband or the wife?
I think the husband. I think the husband had a thing for watching the whole thing play out, and the wife was, I don't know, let's ask our audiences who've dealt with all of the rainbow of cuckold and power play relationships. Tell us, what is it?
What is it?
What is it? Who's getting what? Because I'm certain the wife gets something about making the meals. Obviously, she must.
I mean, obviously, she's must be enjoying the process.
It is a delight for everybody. It's kind of a victim. Frank is sort of a victim because of Frank.
Yeah,
obviously,
definitely.
I mean, yes,
is.
Obviously, he's a victim because he's being filmed against his will. But you know, in the end, you just kind of open parameters to what's cool for you.
Yeah, it's just too bad. The nice thing is, you can find a good rotisserie chicken. They're not that difficult. You can go
and also
Safeway.
You really can. I've had some really good roast chickens in my time.
You
also can learn to make your own. It's not that difficult. It takes a lot of butter more butter than you think it would.
Although I don't know, man, chicken and dumplings ain't nothing better than that.
I am made so viciously hungry just by the description of it that I mean, like, I guess if they really want to watch me fuck, so as long as they're not selling the tapes.
Well, that's the thing, you say late 90s, so I'm like, the internet was still...
Not really, but it was like university level.
Yes, it was like...
And maybe AOL.
They probably had to tangibly send those tapes. They would have to make copies of the tape and then tangibly send them.
You have to go to the post office with those fucking tapes.
Wow. Well, I have a lot of questions now. I'm assuming she was smaller. I don't know. Who knows? Well,
I don't know. But please send us your feedback because send us your feedback.
Yeah.
But I also feel like I feel like people are really blowing overboard their things with food pet peeves. I think people go overboard with them. I think it comes down to it being like, man, just let him live his life. Yeah, he eats chicken like that. And sometimes some women will look at a guy sucking up on a fucking roasted chicken, and if you replace that chicken with your pussy, that's going to be the best time you've ever had with your life.
You know, I've only been in front of one person who I had to audibly tell not to eat. We all know who he is.
Yes, well, that's different. That was different because that was the worst thing I've ever seen. That was one of the worst eating people. Why can't we mention him? You'd know him. But he's fucking one of the worst single eaters. And it's not who you think. I'm going to go out and say you right now. Eliminate Ed Larson.
Ed Larson is actually a very calm and normal eater.
But there's some people on this network. They ain't even going farther. There's some people on this network are one of the worst fucking eaters I've ever sat across from ever. And yes, he's not allowed to eat in front of me ever again. But only because of his use of ketchup. He is the one that literally slathered all
the
whole...
Honestly,
he's changed now.
It's the sound for me. It's just a lot.
He changed considerably. But he used to cover it his food in a mound of ketchup. And then just eat the ketchup first.
It's what kids who grew up super spoiled do. Which more ketchup, more ketchup, right? My mom gives you ketchup. It's just like it's pizza. You don't even need ketchup. Actually, it's disgusting to have pizza.
All over it. Literally all over it. All of the cremes, the white cream, the hot sauce. He would pile it on top of it and then just eat solid condiment scoops. I'm sorry, I've already broken what I was saying about food pet peeves. I've already done it.
Anyway, thank you all so much for your email, sidestorylpotl@gmail.com. Keep them coming.
Getting through this shit. Live each life, Dan, man. You gotta live, bro. We got a lot of stuff. We gotta watch the book. Oh, our live show from last year is coming out today. Patreon first. You get a chance to download it. Watch it in your home. Some new fucking quarantinium fucking content for your fucking asses. I hope you enjoy it. Friday goes wide release. We're going to bump it again. Last podcast and left. But you can come see what our live show is like. You can come see. And so for whenever the fuck it is we get to go on tour again, whenever this fucking invisible enemy allows us to leave our homes again, we will be able to come see. You can see what you're in for.
Go to lastpodcastlive.com and you can get our live show available everywhere on Friday.
Friday. We're out on Friday. I also forgot to cover the Rebecca Black JFK thing. There's a whole Rebecca Black JFK thing. We're going to come back to JFK.
Oh my goodness,
point.
Please do. I'm a huge Rebecca Black fan. I think Friday, I actually have listened to Friday, and there's something about it that it's, she got it. She
I remember
hooks.
When you went through that phase, and I remember when you went through your Wrecking Ball phase. When you were obsessed with the song Wrecking Ball.
Well, Miley's an unbelievable performer, and I'm so team Miley, it's ridiculous.
I love it, and I'll watch her pee, I'll watch her sing.
I would do both of those things as well. I don't like, see, if you are a grown man, for me, T-Swift is off. You can't, it's just
that's
weird
your children.
I don't,
that's
but,
your children.
But Miley, she adult.
Miley is just a good singer. Miley is just a good singer. If you are a fan of Taylor Swift, and this is pointed right at Holden McNeely, you look like an undercover police officer. If you're an older man going into you either look like an undercover police officer or you're trying to marry Kayla Torno yourself a new wife. But to be, again, I guess I support him, though. I guess
of
I have
course,
to support him.
Of course.
All right. So, hey, remember, live every day, man. This time period ain't going to be fucking deleted, dude. Did you are living every day. It is. These days are happening. So yes, remember, you got to live your life for the person you're going to be for when the quarantine's over. Mm. So think about that person.
That's good.
Is that
good.
Person going to want to wear some jeans? Is that person going to want to do fucking bullshit? Because there's a lot of stuff we're going to have to go through. Because I would say love. Love this time period a little bit.
Okay.
Because even though we are stuck at homes and it is entirely boring and it's also mentally very taxing to keep fucking the water discipline of keeping our fucking hands clean at all times, you got to love this time period because when work comes back, this is from Bill Burr. Bill Burr said this, and I thought it was very interesting. Remember how much work is going to suck when it comes back.
Well, that's a good point.
When the floodgates open up, it's going to be very fucking difficult.
That's true. And there'll be a lot of work to do.
There's going to be a lot of work to do. So maybe one nice thing about the slowdown time, because it's quiet time for a lot of people. So it's going to try to fucking find some kind of peace. Grow a plant. I don't know if that helps, but I don't know what else to do.
You sound like you're becoming a alternative Jack Nicholson.
Yo, I'm number one. Oh, my number one guy. And you got to laugh. Because if you're not laughing, you're just going to be screaming at a bunch of people in the fucking street. But only scream at people in the street if it keeps them inside their homes.
Yeah. That's like All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this in your ear tubes. And we shall always talk to you soon. We'll be here for you at the Last Podcast Network. Hail yourselves!
Until the fucking world explodes. Hail Satan.
Magustalations, everybody.
Hail me, fuckers.
Indeed. Also, if there's anyone that invaded your home, I would say get them out. Get rid of them, I guess.
I say now's the time to get rid of them, but unfortunately, if they've come in from the outside, now it is your responsibility to clean them, and now they are your roommate.
Maybe you could bring like when Puffin poops in the house, I don't do this to Puffin, but if a dog poops in the house, my dad used to bring their nose to their poo-poo and be like, don't poop in the house. Maybe you could do that to a person, but then it might also just give them a fetish.
I don't want to touch anybody.
Good point.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
I was shocked, you know? They were always such a good team, so successful. But to do something like that? To exceed their budget?
While being over budget might not be a crime, it can disrupt workflows. With Monday.com, you and the team can be sure that you're all in sync. All the data, latest updates, files, and budgets are visible to everyone, so you won't miss a thing. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.